This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for May 6, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. The SEC is holding its 40th annual Small Business Forum that will feature conversations on capital formation from startup to small cap. There are four sessions from May 24th to May 27th. On Monday, May 24th, the session will focus on finding your first dollars. The Tuesday, May 25th session looks at being a savvy investor. The Wednesday, May 26th session explores small and emerging funds. And the Thursday, May 27th session will examine small cap insights. There's a link in today's newsletter for more information. The preliminary results of the CME Group annual meeting had directors elected except for the B1 and B3 directors, where there was no quorum. As a result, the exiting B1 and B3 directors will continue to serve until the 2022 annual meeting. Directors elected during the CME Group's annual meeting included Terrence A. Duffy, Timothy S. Bitsberger, Charles P. Carey, Dennis H. Jukasian, Brian T. Durkin, Anna Dutra, Martin J. Gepsman, Larry G. Gerdes, Daniel R. Glickman, Daniel G. Kay, Phyllis M. Lockett, Deborah J. Lucas, Terry L. Savage, Rahal Safu, William R. Shepard, Howard J. Siegel, and Dennis A. Suskind, each for a one-year term expiring in 2022. Also, the annual meeting ratified the appointment of Ernst & Young LLP as the company's independent registered public accounting firm for 2021 and approved on an advisory basis the compensation of named executive officers. In addition, the company's B2 class shareholders elected Michael G. Dennis and Patrick W. Maloney, each for a one-year term expiring in 2022. The B1 directors who hold over are William H. Hobart, Patrick J. Mulcrone, and Robert J. Tierney. The B3 director holding over is Elizabeth Cook. Women in Derivatives, or WIND, has elected Karen Wares, Head of Broker Relationship and Prime Services Management at J.P. Morgan Asset Management, as the newest addition to its board of directors. Kevin Darby has written a paper about all the work he has done at CQG the past year. There's a link in today's newsletter to find it. The World Federation of Exchanges has published new guidance on how derivative exchanges can promote sustainable development in collaboration with the UN Sustainable Stock Exchange Initiative. There's a link in today's newsletter. Don't miss the virtual LME Asia Metals Online Seminar on May 25th. It's a one-day webinar which will bring together industry leaders to share their insights into the development prospects of the metals market and the challenges and opportunities emerging from the COVID-19 pandemic. The webinar will be at 9 to 17 GMT and is offered in both English and Mandarin. Also, the Peterson Institute for International Economics will host a virtual discussion on Hong Kong as an international financial center on May 12th, 2021, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. You can register with a link in today's newsletter. Correction, we had a bad link for Incubex yesterday in JLN, where we reported that it was the second most clicked story in the newsletter on Tuesday. CME Group Senior Director Steve Stasis is the latest to give to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Stasis has been a trader with Ronin Capital and worked for Eurex. He was also Director of Research and Development for U.S. Futures Exchange. Thank you to Steve and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Steve's contribution is being matched dollar for dollar by the Trading Technology Matching Pledge. FIA recapped first quarter futures and options trading and open interest data on Wednesday in a webinar hosted by Will Ackworth, FIA's Senior Vice President of Publications, Data and Research. The results were much as expected. Retail investors led record global volume growth. One new point, first quarter volume in interest rate futures and options rebounded from its prolonged slump of 2020. As for exchange competition in the first quarter, the top global exchange by volume was the National Stock Exchange of India, followed by Brazil's B3, with CME Group coming in third. Will retail investors stay around, and will they trade futures? UBS exchange analyst Alex Kramm, also on the call, noted that the exchanges are gearing up for the challenge with new marketing efforts aimed at retail, more like mini contracts. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a press release from the CFTC. CFTC issues order of registration to Mercado Mexicano de Derivatos, S.A. de CV, to permit trading by direct access from the U.S. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission today announced that it has issued an order of registration to Mercado Mexicano de Derivatos, S.A. de CV, or MEXTER, a foreign board of trade located in Mexico City, Mexico, and a subsidiary of the Mexican Stock Exchange Group. My comment, is that a smiling Gary Flagler of MEXTER I see, or is that just the sun coming up? They both seem to have about the same amount of energy this morning. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Why the best job in finance isn't about the bonus. Norway's sovereign wealth fund keeps its top portfolio managers happy with lots of freedom, access to companies, and zero marketing responsibilities. Norway's sovereign wealth fund, the world's biggest, is hamstrung in competing for talent with the rest of the investment industry. As a public institution, it faces what it calls barriers to remuneration. In other words, it can't pay its stars what they would earn working at a hedge fund. But a study just published celebrating 20 years of active management suggests the fund has found other ways to attract and retain portfolio managers. Comment, wait, I thought I had the best job in finance. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. The top story on Wednesday was from the Wall Street Journal. CME Group to close most of its trading pits permanently. The second was from John Lothian News. Jim Krause, the path to electronic trading. The third was from Crane Chicago Business. Chicago says farewell to CME's last trading pits. Here are the top four stories from the lead section of today's JLN. From the Financial Times, Gensler raises concern about market influence of Citadel Securities. SEC chair highlights concentration risk among big trading firms in House testimony. Gary Gensler, new chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission, has expressed concern about the prominent role Citadel Securities and other big trading firms are playing in U.S. equity markets, warning that healthy competition could be at risk. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. GameStop frenzy, Archegos meltdown may prompt new SEC rules, chairman says. Gensler is set to testify Thursday before House Financial Services Committee. Wall Street's top regulator will study potential new rules related to two recent episodes of stock market turbulence, the GameStop Corp frenzy among small investors and the implosion of Archegos Capital Management. In testimony prepared for the House Financial Services Committee, Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Gary Gensler says applications that gamify trading by using appealing visual graphics to reward a user's decision to trade might encourage frequent trading that results in worse outcomes for investors. Some Democratic lawmakers have blamed gamification for the boom in retail trading that helped drive the rise in GameStop shares. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. Dogecoin's 12,000% rally spurs hunt for next crypto winner. Individual investors are betting that cheaper alternatives to Bitcoin and Dogecoin will skyrocket in price and make them money. After Bitcoin and Dogecoin's blistering rally this year, individual investors are venturing further out into the cryptocurrency universe in search of the next big thing. A more than 12,000% rally this year in Dogecoin, a cryptocurrency that was set up as a joke and serves no purpose, sent its price to a record 69 cents per token this week. Bitcoin climbed briefly to over $60,000 apiece last month, more than doubling its price since the end of 2020. That is prompting investors to turn their attention to newer digital assets such as Digabyte, VeChain, and SafeMoon in the hunt for cheaper alternatives that could be the next to skyrocket. Here is a story from Bloomberg. Cryptocurrency Dogecoin surges ahead of Elon Musk's SNL gig. SpaceX might not be the only thing Elon Musk has sent into the stratosphere. Dogecoin, a meme cryptocurrency that was launched as a joke in 2013, has risen more than 100% in the past week as Musk, an influential crypto backer, prepares to host Saturday Night Live. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.